Joined by Dr. Barry Dworkin. You hear him regularly on 580 CFRA with health headlines every morning, of course. And we wanted to get Barry's insight into this dispute between the provincial government and Ontario's doctors over how much they're paid. Barry, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Mark. No problem.
Glad you were able to tear yourself away from your highly lucrative day job to spend more time with us. I know you'd be billing cajillions of dollars right now if you weren't here with us.
Absolutely.
This has turned into quite a nasty dispute, and I know doctors are feeling,
singled out.
Yeah, somewhat, threatened by the province and under pressure from the province. And I'm not sure what the intent of that is, but how are doctors feeling, and what do you talk about when you're talking about this dispute with the provincial government?
Well, the overriding concern is that the work that we have done so far to provide services to patients is going to be compromised. And that follows through by being able to operate your office at a level that fulfills our professional obligation to people and as well provides professional satisfaction to the physicians. That is, you have the equipment, you have all the resources available to provide the care that you've been trained to do. And when you have the Ministry of Health, through the auspices of McGuinty and Matthews, that are imposing what they think is required to reduce costs to our healthcare system without considering the impact it will have upon patient care, that's what's disconcerting. And for myself, my greatest fear, and it truly is a fear, and I've sent you this information, Mark, about what they're planning to do next year with the proposals from government, is that it literally will gut what we are able to provide in our practices and make it very difficult to stay open. And I'm not being alarmist about this. You know, when I look at what it costs me for running a practice, and I own my practice along with a colleague of mine, it is very worrisome that I will not be able to provide the same level of employment for my employees and also the care, importantly, the care for my patients.
So let's talk about how it's structured so people understand that.
Sure.
You and one other doctor
Own the practice. We started that 21 years ago.
And you employ other doctors.
Correct.
Plus support staff.
That's right. The doctors are independent contractors.
Right.
And so they sign association agreements with us.
You don't actually employ them, but they work out of your office.
Correct.
And they have a relationship with you where they share in some of the expenses, and then they get paid by the province for the
Correct.
Services they provide.
And they get services provided to them with regards to the management of their practices, all the things that the patient experiences in the office with regards to bookings and the staffing. All that stuff is provided to the physicians for a fee, and that fee has to be competitive with other practices.
And then all the doctors who work in the practice, including you, your partner, and the other doctors who are independent contractors, when you perform a service for a patient, you bill the province and the province pays you directly.
Correct.
That doesn't go through the practice.
That does not go through the practice. Each physician is paid directly by the government, and it's once a month that you get paid. You don't get paid every 2 weeks. It's once a month. And for our practice, and for many family practices, because we signed on with the government when they said we'd like you to try this, is what's called a family health organization. And so instead of paying a fee for every service that you have when you see a patient, you get paid a flat rate per year. And so for someone your age, Mark, it would be about $75 a year for unlimited service. So in other words, you register with my practice. You see me once, I get $75. You see me five times, I get $75. Not for each visit, but for the entire year. And so it's called a capitation system. With each visit, because the government wants to know that, hey, you know, we're paying you for a certain number of patients a year, and I have 1,600 patients in my practice. We want to make sure that you're actually seeing people. It's not a matter of just paying you for 1,600 patients, and we don't know if you're seeing one or you're seeing 1,000. Well, I have about 6,000 to 7,000 visits a year. And for each of those visits, you bill a code, as you would normally have done under a fee-for-service schedule. The difference, though, is that you're not paid the full amount. You pay 10% of that visit, and that's called shadow billing. That is, that way the government has a means of monitoring how many patients you're seeing and whether they're getting value for money on the basis of that. But that's essentially how family doctors are paid.
So a family doctor gets paid the same amount whether you go see him once or her once or 20 times.
In this capitation system, that's essentially
right.
Correct. That's right. And so any fees, when they talk about physician salaries, it's wholly dependent on the number of patients that you are seeing, right? And services that you are providing. It's not a matter of saying, hey, you know, I think I'm going to increase my salary by applying more fees. It just doesn't
right.
work that way. It's patient-driven.
Unlike another business where you can decide, you know what, our expenses have gone up, so or just the market will bear a certain price for a product, so we're gonna raise the price of that product.
Yeah, and we can't do
and
that.
And do the same amount of work but make more money because we've increased our prices. You can't do that. The only
nope.
way you can make more money is to see more patients and perform more services.
That's right. And that's what makes this what the government is doing so disconcerting, is that they are dictating what the fees should be. To, in this case, many of the specialists, and not considering the fact that this sets a very bad precedent for any future negotiations where they can essentially just impose. And now for the premier to send a letter to all the provinces saying, hey, look what I did. I managed to ham-fist through legislation and enforced what we wanted the physicians to do without negotiating with them. I think you guys should do the same thing too. That's bullying tactics. And for a premier who was so anti-bullying and wanted to pass a law, he's certainly not following his law very well.
You supplied me with the financial statements
yes.
for your business, and this doesn't include the fees that are paid directly to the doctors by the province, but it's everything else.
This is everything else for running our family practice, so that there's a percentage, and physicians are paying between 30 to 40% of their income into the practice every month. And
right.
so...
These financial statements show the fees that you pay basically to the practice and
correct.
The other doctors pay to the practice out of your own income.
That's right.
That you get from the province in order to sustain the business.
Correct.
And basically for the 4 months of January through April 2012, you're break even.
We're
break
even.
As a business.
And we actually through October
Yes, it's October
yeah.
through April,
yeah,
basically.
Our fiscal year is October. We actually break even. I mean, the totals, and this is the totals for running our family practice, 10 physicians, 4 nurses, 6,300 square feet of space, being open every day from 8 till 8 every day, Monday to Friday, open on the weekends, open on holidays, available by telephone, et cetera, et cetera. It costs to run our practice $819,000, essentially $819,277.47 to run the practice for that time. And our income for that time was $820,696, so $1,000 over.
Right.
It shows you how narrow a margin it is. So in other words, I'm not profiting off of the practice. Our main goal for setting up our practice was to provide excellent care, and by doing that, recruiting the best physicians. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not making this a money-making enterprise, because we're making our money through what we're paid by our fees.
And we'll talk more about that in a
sure.
moment. But the impact then, if you're making less in terms of the fees, then that means you can't afford to do as much as you do to invest in the practice, meaning you don't buy as much equipment.
Correct.
You don't have the most up-to-date equipment available. You don't have the amenities that you need. So the quality goes down.
And there's exactly. And there's always upgrading. And there's also, Mark, our financial plan, our business plan for this year was to find 2 more physicians, and with the income from those physicians to hire either a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, which would then help cover the demand for urgent care. And as a means of, again, it trying to improve our care. And we can't do that now because we don't know what is going to happen next year. Plus, we're expecting a clawback. This is very similar to what happened during Bob Rae's time.
So you mentioned that you get paid by the government about 30 to 40% of what you get paid for the services you provide as a doctor goes to the overhead of operating the practice.
Correct.
What is a typical doctor making?
Typical doctor in our practice is earning anywhere between $150,000 to $250,000 gross per year. And of that, about 30 to 40% goes into the practice.
So that the take home effectively, And when I say take home, I mean take home before taxes.
Before taxes, before right. fees, before physician yeah. stuff, before all the licensing fees and all the other stuff. Yeah.
So their net income before taxes, and so not their final take home pay, but the part after their cost of overhead is taken out, would be in the range of $100,000 to $175,000, something in that range.
Something in that range. Yeah. And,
right.
and
which is a good living.
Absolutely.
But when you consider the value of the work that is done in the healthcare field, it's not an exorbitant amount of money. I think most patients would look at that and say, you know, I would expect my doctor to be making a good living.
The issue and what gets lost in the argument is, again, as I mentioned, I see between 6,000 and 7,000 patients a year. So you have to divide that by the income. And so let's say it's $250,000, which is pretty close. I'll be honest with people. Divide that by 6,000 or 7,000 and you end up with $45 per visit.
Right.
And I spend 15 minutes to 30 minutes for patients. So my question is that a value to people? Is that a reasonable fee when you look at the overall service that is being provided?
When you go see your doctor, if they get $45 for you being able to go see the doctor that comes from the government and ultimately from taxpayers, is that good value for money?
Correct.
Barry, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate
Mark.
You being candid about all this and sharing it. I think it's very useful for our listeners.